There's nothing on earth that compares to the Catholic priesthood. And today, priestly vocations are booming. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio, the show that highlights the glory of the priesthood and promotes priestly vocations through exciting information and lively interviews with priests, seminarians and their families, vocation directors, seminary rectors, bishops, and those with a passion for promoting vocations. Here's the host of Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher.
Welcome to you, and a personal thank you for taking time out of your weekend to join us here on Vocation Boom Radio. I'm Nick Scott for Jerry Usher today. Vocation Boom is committed to serving the church by supporting what our guest today calls the gift that is a man's vocation to the sacred priesthood of Jesus Christ. You'll find Vocation Boom, you're on your EWTN affiliate, EWTN Television. Our website is vocationboom.com. I encourage you and invite you at a time just to kind of scour the website at your leisure. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at GoPriest. We've been called here at Vocation Boom to assist the discerning man, his family, friends, and you listening to this broadcast because you too have a respect and a love for our priests. You can donate on our website by simply clicking on the donate button, again at vocationboom.com. Thank you again for your support there. Another very timely way is to consider trying our three gourmet blends of Vocation Brew coffees, which support our ministry. No longer support the corporate coffee giants, but vocations to the priesthood instead by buying Vocation Brew. Now, we've partnered with the Catholic family, growing some of the best coffee beans on the planet on their farm in Brazil. Nossa Familia is their name. They freshly roast the beans at their roastery in Portland, Oregon, and they ship the whole bean or ground varieties. As soon as the newly roasted coffee is cooled, you'll not find a fresher coffee anywhere. I happen to be a coffee connoisseur, and I could attest to that myself. So what about trying Vocation Brew yourself today or purchasing some for Christmas giving? Check out our breakfast blend, Morning Lauds. Our Italian roast is Evening Vespers, and we have a discernment decaf as well. One sip, and I think you'll agree you found a win-win for your palate and for the church in joining us in building a culture of priestly vocations. Well, it is with great joy today that I introduce today's guest on Vocation Boom Radio. He's an ardent supporter of vocations to the priesthood. Father Justin Brady is a priest in the Diocese of Boise, Idaho. He was born and raised in Boise, ordained to the priesthood in 2005, and is currently the pastor at Our Lady of Snows in Sun Valley, at St. Charles Borromeo in Haley, and at Mary Immaculate in Fairfield, Idaho. For Father Brady, it was as a senior in high school, and we'll learn more about this in a moment, on a retreat weekend with Bishop Kelly, that Father Justin had a change of heart, recognized this change, that God was calling him to something greater. He would join a youth prayer group and travel with Catholic Ministry Reach, and from there his path led to the seminary. Father Brady is also co-host of Collar Talk on Salt and Light Radio. Welcome to the show, Father Justin.
Thank you so much.
It's good to have you back. I know you've been on the show before, and it's been some time, so it's always good to have a priest from the Diocese of Boise and you yourself. We've had Father Caleb on the show before, so welcome to the program. I'd like to start off, if we could, Father Justin, that you tell us your vocation story. I've given a little hint of what it entailed, but give us more than the Cliff Notes version, will you?
Well, yeah, sure. I would say our vocations often they come about in such mysterious ways, right? It's small things that can make such a big difference. And so I did. I went on that retreat when I was a senior in high school because of a pretty blonde girl who I was very infatuated with, and she invited me. And, my first reaction when she asked me to go, first thing that came out of my mouth was, why would I want to waste a weekend praying? which I think speaks well of where I was in my relationship with Christ and the church, right? I had faith, but it was definitely not an informed faith, or I would say, a dynamic faith. But as grace can break through in such wonderful ways, somewhere during that weekend, I don't remember where, I don't remember exactly how, but I left that retreat knowing there was a God and that he loved me and that I loved him. And I think it was very much what occurred was this understanding of everything that my heart was aching for so deeply was only to be found in God. And that started just a process of God's great economy in my life, putting me where I needed to be to encounter him and to learn how to give my life to him. And so, as you mentioned in the opening, I was part of a young adult prayer group, and I began to get involved in youth ministry and retreat ministry. And after a year of university, where I was at a crossroads, I went on that Reach Youth Ministries program, which basically myself and 10 other people, 10 other young adults in a 15-passenger van, we traveled around the United States and Canada to do evangelization retreats for high school students and sometimes junior high. And in the midst of that intense, beautiful communal living, which was very difficult but so rich, a life in which we were just kind of pulled out of the world to focus only on Christ, my vocation came to me in the spring of that year, which would have been 93, as I was standing in a parking lot across from who is now Bishop Mark Hageman, up there in the land of the Great White North. I was just standing in front of him. We're in this circle, and there was all we're outside, and there was cars going by, and there's all this noise and conversation, and I was just looking at him, and all of a sudden the volume of the world turned down, and I just heard deep within myself the words, "I could do that," meaning priesthood. I could do that. And really, that's the moment I would say my vocation came to me. There were times before that where I was open to the idea, but that's when it hit. And when I began to reflect upon my life and like, what am I passionate about? I realized I was passionate about nothing, like I was the church and evangelization. I mean, I didn't have like, it wasn't like God and medicine or literature and God or that. That was it. And really, that was the one place where I encountered, as Matthew Kelly would say, the best version of myself was in the midst of being wholly disposed to ministry. And it wasn't for another 4 years that I went to seminary. So that began a really active time of discernment when I came back, meeting with my bishop and vocation directors, and I had the great encounter of being able to meet and be around priests in a new way at that point, of being able to see the reality of priesthood, particularly lived out by different men. And after another year of going back to Reach Youth Ministries, that year it was something shifted, and it was time to go major in priesthood. And so I came back and went through the mission process, and 8 years later I became a priest in 2005.
Mm-hmm. There's
just so many pieces to it. I mean, God was so good at giving the call, but also clearing the way. There was so much clutter in my life, and that's why seminary is so good. Because so much had to be cleared out of my life so that I could freely say yes to him when the time came.
Yeah. And God does these things in mysterious ways. You mentioned the parking lot.
Yeah.
I was really at a low point in my life when I converted to Catholicism, or at least began that move, and it was in a parking lot of a Catholic church. And so that kind of rang true to me.
We're parking lot buddies.
I guess so. It is really interesting how when you submit to God, the marvelous things that can happen. You know, Father, it was, if I may recall for our listener, you gave a talk at St. John's Cathedral there in the Diocese of Boise, a very important and special place for you and certainly for all that are ordained in the diocese. A very inspiring talk, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to share a portion of it and then kind of get your response listening back. Would you mind?
No, that'd be great.
All right. Here's Father Justin Brady from St. John's Cathedral.
One of the powerful things that happened during my ordination as I knelt right here, and as I was doing this spiritual work of many years, rather Christ was doing the work within me, of being ready to receive that new identity and that conformity with Him. So I was struggling to let the old man die and the new man rise. I was kneeling here. And during the rite of ordination, as you may be aware, the bishop will come and lay hands on the ordinand's head. And then the priests that are gathered come and do the same. I was birthed into a whole new identity. I had this image of here I was, and these hands on my head, and it was like I was being delivered, like, you know, the doctor said I was being delivered, and I was kind of having this vision in this from various angles, from within myself, but also from outside, and it was very much like I see right now. As I was coming out, it was the church who was calling me forth as the hands of Christ. In the intercession of St. Joseph, the first man to hold Jesus, was receiving. I was being birthed into a spiritual unity with the bride of Christ. There was this deep understanding of who I was. My hope is that God would take the richest portions of that life He has given me in this place, that He would multiply it and distribute to each of you in the measure that He desires to today. That you could fall into deep, mystical experience and communion and contemplation with Christ and His bride, the church.
Boy, very beautiful there, Father Justin. Yeah. I sense from just listening to it that, and I kind of like this as a member of the laity, when a priest talks from his heart. Undoubtedly, mm-hmm. you were sharing something very, very intimate. And that's that relationship that that grew over time. And now you were able to let the old man die. The new man arose. And this whole new identity married to Holy Mother Church. To me, that's beautiful. Very beautiful, Father.
It is. I mean, I think beauty is a very great and apt description of that. It's beautiful what God does and how he just transforms us through mercy and through grace. You know, the big thing that always occurs when it seems when somebody's called to vocation of, I see it especially in religious life and in priesthood, is, oh, I can't do that. I'm not that man. And we must always remember this is why we have formation. It is always Christ's work to call and form the soul into the vocation that He's called. And so all we have to do in that, and it's not so easy and trite, is to say yes. To say yes when it's beautiful and easy, to say yes when it's difficult and you want to run away, just trying to say yes. I mean, I remember an appointed discernment as to whether I was going to go back to do that second year of evangelization work with Reach Youth Ministries. I was in the Newman Center there at Boise State University before the Tabernacle, and I was conflicted. It just seemed like there was so much that had to happen. And I remember the prayer that came upon my heart through the Holy Spirit was, I just said, Lord, I know You will be faithful to doing Your parts. Please let me know which one are mine. And within that prayer, all of a sudden, there was this great handing over of all the pieces. And then I just had to wait until He said, here, will you do this piece? And that's been a prayer that stayed with me for a long time. And it comes back to me in my priesthood when I seem to be overwhelmed with the great needs that are present within my parish or the Universal Church. And I just need to always go back to that prayer. I know that the Lord's always going to be faithful. I just need to be. I just need to be little before Him, mm-hmm. as the many saints teach us. It's God's work, and that's one thing I can never communicate enough. It's God's mission to form us into our vocation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a plan. He's a God of infinite contingency plans. It doesn't matter which way you go, left, right. He's like, okay, I'm there, gotcha. I'm there, I gotcha. He will take care of it, you know?
Yeah, help, regardless of age, help us discerning a priestly vocation, Father Justin. Help us discern initially how best to listen to God. Because really important in that prayer that you just shared was the act of listening.
Right. You know, that was a great grace. I got to say, though, it's at that time, I didn't have the most disciplined prayer life. I wasn't really steeped in the holy habit of quietude and contemplation. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is just, I would say, with individuals, if they're trying to listen to the Lord, firstly, they need to listen with what's going on within them. What are you feeling, thinking, believing, perceiving, right? Mm-hmm. And start to dialogue with the Lord out of those feelings. So often we have all this stuff going on inside of us, and we tell ourselves, oh, I can't think that, or I shouldn't feel that, or I'm distracted by that. And we keep trying to push it away, and it keeps coming back, and it could be the very thing that this is the Lord stirring it up, because He wants to talk to that part. He wants to talk to the part that says, well, I don't want that. Like, He's going to get mad at us. How dare you say no to me? Don't you know who I am? I'm God. Here's my card, right? So, I mean, in all this, if sometimes we want to listen, we need to be aware of what is going on within us. I'm not trying to say it's some sort of kind of Zen spiritualism where you find the truth only in yourself. But I'm saying be aware of what is stirring within your own life, and then articulate that in prayer. Lord, part of me is very afraid to even ask you the question, do you want me to be a priest? Lord, I don't know if I could be good enough to be a priest. Lord, I don't know if I have the courage. I don't, you know, or all these different things. And often we're going to be aware of our limitations first. God's going to get the call, and we're going to say, whoa, 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 here's the list of 14 things of why I think you are mistaken, Lord. So we really need to be aware of those things and try to, at the best of our ability, articulate those in prayer and wait on Him. Waiting is a difficult thing, especially in our culture, which is immediate gratification, right?
Yeah.
Place the order, get what you want. That's not how it works with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I would say to anybody who's praying in that is being aware of what is going on within you, and then articulate that honestly, knowing that the Lord's not going to judge you. And knowing that we can feel many things at the same time that seem to be in contradiction, that we can be, part of us, be very trusting and open to the Lord, while at the same time part of us is anxious and a little reserved of saying yes.
Father Justin Brady is our guest, a priest of the Diocese of Boise, Idaho, and the pastor at a cluster of parishes. We'll chat with more with Father Justin in a moment here. We're going to pause for a moment and continue our conversation with Father Justin Brady in a moment on Vocation Boom Radio.
Have you prayed for priestly vocations today? Vocation Boom Radio.
Dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is available to come to your next event.
It's you! That's where they encounter Jesus Christ, in you! That's where they learn to fall in love with Jesus, through you!
Deacon Harold is ready to inspire you and to motivate you to have a greater faith in God and living the life of the church.
What is the Goliath that has you so scared that you can't take your faith to the next level? Why is your prayer life just stuck? You can't take anything to that next level because there's something holding you back.
Be on fire for your Catholic faith. Invite Deacon Harold to your parish, conference, or retreat.
Jesus says, in order to be my disciples, you must pick up your cross and follow me.
Book Deacon Harold today through his website, deaconharold.com, by contacting thirdmillenniummedia.com, or by calling 541-212-8616 today.
I'm Archbishop Aquila from the Archdiocese of Denver. Thanks to Vocation Boom for helping to create a culture of priestly vocations.
Invite a powerful and dynamic Catholic speaker to your parish, conference, or retreat.
I am God's son. I belong to the Father. He loves me. He has empowered me. And whatever challenge I face, I'm going to overcome. That's masculine genius. But let me ask you a question. What is your plan? What is your plan for achieving holiness? Your mission is in heaven. What's your plan?
Be introduced to Joe McClain.
How are you going to achieve a state of grace today? How often do you get to the confessional? Do you try to take in an extra mass during the week? Do you examine your conscience every single night? I know a lot of people, saints, who get to heaven because they laid it all on the line and gave 110%. What is your plan?
Book Joe McClain today by contacting Third Millennium Media at thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Got a spare buck or two? Help us encourage priestly vocations by contributing today at vocationboom.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Scott for Jerry Usher. This is Vocation Boom Radio, and thank you for taking a part of your afternoon to join us here. And we invite you to join the conversation, chat with our guest today, Father Justin Brady, a priest in the Diocese of Boise, Idaho. We love to pray. Praying for priests and seminarians is part of our everyday at Vocation Boom. And we've had a lot of people join us on our website praying at different hours of the day, and we invite you to check that out on our website, sign up as well, or just give a prayer whenever it is convenient for you, for priests, for seminarians, for anyone that is discerning vocation. Undoubtedly, Father Justin, some important things that those that lead you, the bishops, Bishop Christensen in Boise, and others that really guide the church, that guide the priests, that guide the laity.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of us need spiritual fatherhood. And so when you have, the bishop represents that in such great ways. I mean, that's part of the charism of the office, and what is in there is that shepherding piece. Mm-hmm. And, so this is my second bishop as a priest. And, I'm very much enjoying Bishop Christensen. It's beautiful. It's amazing what happens when you see someone who's in love with their own priesthood and is operating out of that as within that office as bishop, and how that is something that is a ministry to everyone in a diocese, right? So, you see is it's not about him, but in the sense of him living that relationship, how it strengthens the lay faithful and our religious and our priests, and this whole thing of how it's the very Catholic reality is our vocations are meant to be gift always. So, really, and they're never in competition with each other. They only are if we're operating out of sin. But when we live them in grace, it's always something that will strengthen and embolden and everyone else's vocation. That's important thing I try to remember as a priest is trying to be a witness to the joy that comes from saying yes to Christ.
Yeah, I'd like to get into that, all of the great things that you call a gift of the priesthood. I have asked many people within my parish community, what would the church be here today, this little group of the church, our parish community, without the priest? And so I ask you that question today, too. And you and I had talked earlier in the week that Bishop Christensen had ordained many men to the permanent diaconate recently, and you may want to shed a little bit of light on this, Father Brady. I mentioned the church is not relevant to the modern world, which to me immediately accentuates the importance of the priest.
Yeah, well, actually, he said this, the Catholic Church is not a relevant church. And what he meant by that is saying is, we're not one that's going to conform ourselves to the present culture. And so that we're meant to be countercultural. he referenced as well at that time that quote from Chesterton where he mentioned that only something living can move upstream, can go against the flow. And that's what we're called to do as priests. And, you know, as Christians, but of course as priests. And that can be a hard thing to do at times because of nobody likes being, you know, pushed back against. And so, but when we look at the great saints of our time or the great priests of our day, like a great example, St. Charles Borromeo, holy cow. So here's a guy who pushed all sorts of buttons in trying to reform his diocese and to call his priests into deep holiness. He was a bishop of Milan, just during the time of the Reformation. So we had the Counter-Reformation going on, and he just saw the great spiritual void that was going on. So he drew near to his priests to form them in Christ so that he, together with them, could draw near and pursue the lay faithful to draw them into Christ. But he had to go against the clerical culture that was going on at that time. And there were some very terrible things going on in regards to relationships between priests and simony and selling of offices and usury, you know, charging for the sacraments. And he had to risk being unpopular with, in a sense, you know, his own contemporaries, his own brother bishops and his priests. But he did that, why? For the love of Christ. And really for the love of them. If we're ever going to go countercultural, it's not because we're trying to pursue some narrow ideology, but because we desire the greatest good for someone because we love them. And whether that is something great in regards to, we have, you know, the culture of death, of trying to be counter to that, we're not doing that because we're trying to fight some silly ideology, but because it's the greatest good for every human person to be venerated and to have their dignity defended from life until death. We do it because of love. We don't do it to win battles or for medals or for to win an exchange. We do it so that they might be more conformed with the love of God. Mm-hmm. We have to risk that. That's always the reason why. And if I get tired of sometimes the pushback, and I'm saying it's, I don't suffer greatly, so don't make it sound like I'm some great, terrible, wonderful, priest breaking every cultural rule. But even as I do that, I have to always remember, why am I doing this? Because I love them. And because Christ has shown his love for them to me. And it really, it's the mandate of the gospel of love that calls us to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it brings the four, some issues that certainly the church is dealing with now. The greatest amount of effort being put into this since I became Catholic 9 years ago, and that is the Church's moral and social teachings, Father. Mm-hmm. So important today. So let me ask, what do you believe to be the most important aspect that a priest can impart when it comes to some of the moral and social issues that are going on in the world today?
Good question. I think when I'm looking at trying to either through preaching, through teaching events, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit may use me to heal the suspicion that the culture has, and many Catholics have, against God and the Church. So when we look at these core issues, whether it be in regards to gender identity or what is Catholic marriage or, you know, dignity of life, ordination of women, all these things, is if we're always approaching the dialogue on that with a suspicion that somehow the Church is out to get us or that God's holding something from us that we're supposed to have, we're never going to come to a place of understanding or of fidelity. So I'm always trying to be very aware of within this, of trying to teach and proclaim the beauty of the Church, the veritatis splendor, the beauty of the truth, and why it's so reasonable that God is asking us to do certain things. And the beauty in that, and ultimately, though, is that to remind them how invested God is in our life and what he offers us. Because if we just go tit for tat, it won't work in our highly, highly, our culture right now is just, we're so split, and we don't know how to have dialogue, right? So all we do is accuse and counterattack, and it's so duplicitous. And so there's no way to do that. So I look at when I preach and teach, I'm just trying to always approach it first through this intimate God of love who first knew us and pursued us and is offering us everything that we need in our lives. And therein, love would allow us to be conformed to the truth he asks of us. We only can do it if we love God. So if I just throw a bunch of dogma out there and a bunch of moral teachings coldly, most people aren't going to want to follow that. But because I know how it was in my life. It was my falling in love with God that led me to say yes. Okay, I'll say yes to this, and I'll say yes to this. Even to the point of certain things at times I didn't understand why, and I disagreed with the Lord. But I'm like, I can't say no to you. I'll say yes until I know with my whole being, intellectually and spiritually, why I'm saying yes. I will say yes even now. I think that's an important thing because we have to witness through humility, through beauty, through truth. And just throwing up bullet points of dogma, even if it's correct, it won't change a lot of hearts. There are those like Chesterton who will read themselves in the church, and reason and logic will work for them. But the majority of the church, it's not going to work that way. And hence why we have this new approach that the Holy Spirit, I think, is offering us through Pope Francis, is we have to start first with the risk of relationship and engaging. Mm-hmm. We have to start with friendship.
Yeah.
And the testimony that I truly love you, even if our lives are so divergent in what we regard to be true and good. Doesn't mean I sign off on what you're doing. Doesn't mean I agree with what you're doing, how you live. But you need to know first that I truly do love you. Not just some empty sentimental way. I truly love you. Mm-hmm. And then in that place of safety, then we can have a conversation about the true, the beautiful, and the good. And that's hard. That's much harder. I'd rather just kind of say the truth. This is what the church says and what the catechism says. That's where I'm most comfortable. The encounters are more difficult. And yeah. I think we have to do that as Catholics. We have to start to do that better.
No.
Being orthodox isn't enough if we're not going to risk the engagement to allow a part of our heart to be lost in the engagement to love a brother and sister.
You know, and whether we're drinking out of a red coffee cup or whether we're perceived to be intolerant, really what needs to be shown is the love that God has shown us.
That's what worked in the early church. Yeah. I mean, yeah. How was so much of the early church, we look at in Italy, well, in Rome, is how did they witness? Is when the plagues hit, the Christians mm-hmm. stayed, and they searched the streets and the houses for those that got left behind, and they took them into their own homes, and they cared for them, even to the point of losing their own lives because they contracted the disease. And people were seeing, see how they love? They were seeing how, and since they're quote-unquote slaves within their homes, you know, their servants that they had, how they were treated the same as, you know, the family's daughters and sons. It was a very effective engagement in charitable relationships, but also at the same time being firm in the faith and risking being persecuted for not burning yeah. incense to the emperor, right?
Sure.
But it was the testimony of love that evangelized the world. That was the impetus behind our whole move to build schools and parishes and for the Jesuits to go to every dark part of the earth, was that these people might have an opportunity to know and fall in love with the God who made them and called them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, when we have some of the issues that we deal with in the secular society today, where do we turn? We turn to the priest. Those
yeah.
outside the church even turn to the priest. The first line of defense, the first line of comfort, line of getting yeah. getting God's love. Yeah. How important, you know, boy.
There's a lot yeah. of people that come into my, you know, that's one of the beautiful things as a priest is, as a priest, we're always riding the coattails of God's good reputation. Like, I will walk into a hospital room or someone will come into my office, and they may not even be spiritual, let alone Catholic. And there is the safety or trust because of what we represent. And I'm always trying to be reverent. It's like, it is, Lord, it's your love and your reputation that allows me to be here right now. And in that is that the priest can represent that, the great reality that God is with them in that moment. Mm-hmm. The amount of people that can just come to my office who are not Catholic, not Christian, because they know it's a safe place. That's a beautiful thing. And then in that, I don't take the whole time. Let me indoctrinate you as we sit here. But I can, in a very powerful way, help to introduce them through prayer to the God who knows them and wants to heal them or console them or strengthen them. And there is, I have to remember, there is power in the priesthood, but it's only power through humility. It's not because I wield it. It's because I say yes. And it's a beautiful thing how the priest does represent that.
Mm-hmm. I'm Nick Scott for Jerry Usher this afternoon.
When I look back at my discernment, the sacrament that I was most excited about when I thought about being a priest was the sacrament of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a great relationship with that sacrament at that time, but I was always so awed at how intimate and merciful the environment was within the context of that sacrament. That's why I wanted to be a priest. It was only after ordination, many years, I'd say, that I really, really fell into a deep, 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 deep love for the Eucharist. Now, somebody would take that and be scandalized. I'm saying I didn't reverence and love the Eucharist before, but it was in the process of just living out my priesthood that I was able to fall into this deeper love of the Eucharist and celebrating the Mass that I didn't have necessarily at the beginning when I was starting my discernment of formation. And just that, the whole thing of mercy is never in... it's never in competition with the truth or with the law, but mercy reveals itself because of the law. That here is something that is objectively right or wrong, okay? And perhaps the Lord, for looking at this, is something that's right, and we didn't do it, so we've committed sin. And mercy steps in to reveal itself as that there's a love even greater than that law. And as in a little meditation book I have, is that God reveals himself... God will go from being a just judge to a merciful father as soon as we ask him, I believe is what it said. Mm-hmm. And I just love that quote. If we understand mercy, God's going to, we just recognize he goes from being a just judge, okay, it's right that I'm held accountable for that, to a merciful father as soon as we ask. Mm-hmm. And this is what the priest is meant to be, is this ability for the priest to represent that, and to be able to be there in certain encounters so that every soul may be able to encounter the merciful love of God. Hmm. The love that heals, that restores, that sets us free. That's a beautiful thing about being a priest.
Yeah.
I have to be a missionary of mercy.
Yeah, and we thank you. Thank you for your yes. Thank you for your vocation. Certainly all your brother priests as well, Father Augustine. We're going to take just a short time out here in our conversation. We've got a couple of calls online and waiting to chat with you, Father, and we'll certainly be more than happy to take a call from Mike and from Jane when we continue with our discussion with Father Justin Brady, a priest in the Diocese of Boise, Idaho, on Vocation Boom Radio.
Pray for more priests. Then get involved in making it happen. Vocation Boom Radio.
For a limited time, place your order for Vocation Brew Coffee and receive a free copy of Franciscan Brother Casey Cole's dynamic book called What Happens After Saying Yes to God. Brother Casey is a transitional deacon on his way to the priesthood. He highlights how, whether you're considering a priestly or religious vocation or simply trying to lead a Christ-centered life as a layperson, your journey of faith doesn't end with hearing God's call. That's where it begins. Brother Casey reflects on how all Christians must discern God's will for them. All Christians are challenged to give of themselves. All Christians must cultivate a prayer life. All Christians, like it or not, will struggle along the way. Remember, Vocation Brew offers flat rate shipping on up to 3 bags of our gourmet coffees. So stock up and save and enjoy your free copy of Called, What Happens After Saying Yes to God. It'll make a great read for you or a terrific gift for a young person in your life. Order your coffee and get your free book today at vocationboom.com. Just click on the Vocation Brew tab. Note that the book will be shipped separately. Please allow 2 to 4 weeks for delivery of the book. That's vocationboom.com.
Have you told your priest how much you appreciate him? This is Vocation Boom Radio.
Inspiring, engaging, life-changing. Third Millennium Media proudly presents Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Sometimes when we get put in charge of stuff, we get a little cocky. Oh, I'm in charge, huh? I'm the boss. And we forget that we are all under the authority of Christ.
Protection from spiritual warfare from Adam Bly.
The spiritual world is legalistic. The demons are bound by rules. If you learn the rules that they are bound to operate under, God's rules, you're greatly empowered.
Grow in holiness from world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
This region of the world longs for the flame of your faith, for the flame of your charitable witness to be a beacon of salvation for your brothers and sisters. And the responsibility is great.
Coming to your parish, Jerry Usher, Adam Bly, and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Back to Boom at vocationboom.com.
I'm Nick Scott for Jerry Usher on Vocation Boom Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Father Justin Brady from the Diocese of Boise, Idaho, is our guest today. Thanks so much, Father Justin, for being with us. We've got a couple of phone callers on the line that would love to talk with you, Father Justin. Let's first, if you don't mind, Father, go to Mike from Boise, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Mike, welcome to Vocation Boom Radio.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hi, Mike.
Hey. Hey, just wanted to call and congratulate Father Justin on his priesthood. And I remember him being around Sacred Heart Parish when I first moved here back in 92 with the prayer group and other things. And I don't think I've seen you since. I just wanted to congratulate you.
Well, it's good to hear from you again, Mike. I remember you. Yes, very much so. Well, thank you. I appreciate your well wishes, and I appreciate your prayers. And
yeah,
that was a beautiful thing we were part of. We were just that weekly prayer group on Thursdays, and we just would come together and pray to the Lord and minister to each other. It was a time of great formation in my life.
Well, good. I just so good to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you so much. Blessings to you.
You too.
All right, Father Justin. Now Jane is on the line. Jane, welcome to Vocation Boom Radio. What's your question for Father Justin?
Hi. I didn't have a question for Father Brady, but I wanted to say I'm in at St. John's in Boise, so I don't hear Father Brady preach very often, but it's so wonderful with Catholic radio, and we can hear Father Brady and Father Vogel on their caller talk program, and it's just so awesome to, you know, be able to hear you right now on Vocation Boom, but we can hear you almost every week in Boise, and it's just awesome the way you're reaching so many people that are out there in their cars or, you know, in nursing homes or whatever. So it's just a great thing. So we really appreciate your vocation, Father.
Thank you so much, Jane. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Isn't that nice, Father Justin? Thank you, Jane, to get a call from parishioners, maybe those that haven't seen in a while, and get that appreciation. It really is a sign the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. As we said a little bit earlier on the program, I think one of our little breaks mentioned to remember and say something kind to your priest, and there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
They're very edifying.
I tell you, that's something that's very humbling. People are, the lay faithful are so patient and kind with us priests. I mean, really, I don't know if people appreciate, like, how hard we'd have to work to make people completely reject us and just to wipe their hands clean of us. I mean, they put up with so much. And again, that goes back to what I was saying before, this whole understanding is, that the respect and love that they have for Jesus Christ and for his church, they extend to the priests. And so often they're so willing to deal with our imperfections. Of course, there's the grumpy children of God, and sometimes they're the priests themselves. But for the most part, people are so kind and practice such long-suffering for the priests because of their love of Jesus. And that can be sometimes one of those things of, anybody, but priests can be so afraid of failure, of doing something wrong, of damaging somebody's faith because of their own imperfections or choosing to do the wrong thing, making the wrong decision. But ultimately, God uses everything for his glory if we allow him. And the more that we can, even as priests, recognize where our weaknesses truly are, allow the Lord to minister to us through the kindness of our parishioners and the lay faithful, to receive their gracious prayers and their compliments, to truly receive them as being honest. Then we can not have to live in that fear, but be able to live in that identity that is ours in Jesus Christ. That's the beautiful thing about being in a relationship with Jesus, is we have the ability to be imperfect where we're at right now as God is leading us to perfection. We don't have to pretend we're anything other than what we are. And hopefully by grace we're seeking those greater things as we move forward. But that's the mercy of God, receives us exactly where we're at. And the Lord has a particular ministry for us at every time in our life.
Yeah.
We just need to say yes.
Yeah, and if you are a discerning man, certainly one of Father Justin's brother priests, Father Caleb Vogel, used to be. I don't think he's at the St. Augustine Center anymore because I think he's moved now to a parish community.
Yeah, he's at St. Paul's in Nampa, Idaho now.
Is he? Okay. Anyhow, VandalCatholics.com can get you to the vocation office there at the University of Idaho. You mentioned the Newman Center as well at Boise State, another contact for the discerning man in your diocese.
Yeah, Father Jack Vance, a Jesuit. He's down there. Great guy.
Okay. And I wanted to mention, too, CatholicIdaho.org. CatholicIdaho.org is the diocesan website to find out about the great things that are happening in Greater Idaho and in Boise in regards to building a culture of priestly vocations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Father, Jane mentioned something that I wanted to touch on briefly, if we could. You co-host Caller Talk on Salt and Light Radio, and that is heard throughout the state of Idaho and beyond with Father Vogel. And recently you touched on the fruits of the Spirit in assisting in discernment, kind of the pursuit of virtue, if you will, as being something that a discerning man could, or anyone discerning a vocation could kind of focus on.
Yeah. Well, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, they have these are the things that the Lord produces in our life as we are in that relationship with him. And just in case, like, what are those? Galatians 5:22, it tells us the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay? And in those are the fruits of God's work and his mission in our life. And so what do? we seek to, by grace, to pursue the virtue, pursue the life of virtue. So we're seeking to look at those things. The virtues are what? Those are basically, we'd say, the habits or conditions of the heart of God. So that's where we'd be trying to aim for those great things of being able to, for even looking at the first three commandments of loving God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yes.
That we would seek to be reverencing and honoring everything that is the Lord in His name, and keeping holy the Sabbath, in the sense of keeping God's law. Virtue is about keeping the law of God. It's not, we don't do, and again, everything we do it is by grace. It really is by grace, but it requires us to say yes. And so if we're looking at that, and any young man who is seriously, they're worried about the imperfection of their spiritual life right now, I just encourage them to the best of ability to turn themselves towards a meditation and a reception of these spiritual gifts. And one of the things we said in that is they build on them. One, actually, it was our producer, Brian, who mentioned that. Somebody told him once that each one leads into the other one. You have the love of God in your life that leads you to be in great joy. When you're in that joy, then you have the peace, because you know how God's in that. With peace, it leads you to patience. You'd be kind to others, which is kind of patience and kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, that each one, in a sense, rolls into the other. And so if you're lacking one of those, gentleness or self-control, something that was mentioned by Father Vogel was, go back to the beginning. What's the first one? Love. And trying to order your heart through prayer and through petition towards those first foundational gifts, and trusting the Lord wishes to give them to him. That is his promise.
Yeah. You mentioned that that you found freedom and joy in your priesthood, and your vocation has made you a more authentic version of yourself.
Yes, the most authentic version of myself.
Yeah.
So that's one of those lines from Matthew Kelly, right? You know, he's becoming a most authentic version. You know, the best version is what he says, the best version of yourself. I use the word authentic because I really like that word. Mm-hmm. But it really does, because it leads you to freedom. God knows who we are, and he wants to love us into the fullness of our being. You know, St. Irenaeus says, "What the glory of God is man fully alive." So if we are living that spiritual relationship with the Lord, and we're saying yes, and we're entering deeper and deeper into that sacramental relationship with Christ, and seeking to be missionaries of mercy, he's going to lead us to the best version of ourselves, the most authentic version. And the one that enables us, and not in an arrogant way, but to even love ourselves profoundly. Why? Because we love ourselves as God loves us. And we're able then to, we can love others as God loves them. The gospel and the call to charity of that great love of God above all things and the neighbor self, it always is going to be rooted and standing with authenticity. And grace allows us to do that authentically. Does God not love us authentically in his giving of himself on the cross and in Eucharist and in the confessional? That's the authentic Lord giving himself to us so that we could be more authentic in him and in his church.
We have about a minute left, Father Justin. What might you tell a discerning man today to take him that next step?
I just want to share with him, any of them, what was shared with one of my previous vocation directors. He was standing at the confluence of two great rivers in northern Idaho, two massive rivers. And he was seeing how he's there at the confluence, and one was a little bit stronger and pushing the other, and there was a seam. And a little bit later behind that seam, it was just one river. And the Lord asked him three questions as he was wrestling. The Lord asked him, "Do you believe I desire your happiness more than you do? Do you believe I know what will make you happy better than you do? Will you trust me?" And that's what I want to offer to anybody who's in that process of wrestling. And it is. Discernment is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. Just come back to those questions. Do you believe God desires your happiness, your joy more than you do? That he knows what will make you happy better than you do? Will you join
Father Justin, yeah, it's been great chatting with you again today. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your priesthood. Thank you for your ardent support for priestly vocations as well, Father.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless all of you.
Thank you. Father Justin Brady, a priest in the Diocese of Boise, our guest today on Vocation Boom Radio.